This is the Decibel Geek Podcast with Aaron Camaro and Chris Sinzak.
Welcome to the Decibel Geek Podcast, and I know that doesn't sound nearly as exciting as when Aaron Camaro says it, because I'm Chris Sinzak, and I'm flying solo this week. But I do have a guest co-host with me to take us through this insanity that you saw from the artwork and the show notes, and you're thinking, really, they're going to talk about this guy again? Well, yeah, we're going to do it one more time. But before we get into that, I've got a guest with me, and I'll introduce him in just a minute. But let me go ahead and get the business out of the way. Aaron Camaro is a little bit under the weather today, and as you can hear from my sniffling, I am as well. So we are both quarantined to our own houses, so I'm doing this from my house. And let's get the business out of the way. First off, sweet reviews and recommendations. We do have one of each. We have an Apple Podcast review called Still Going Strong. Old school DJs playing new and old music, having an opinion, good interviews, and playing songs other than the single. If these are things you miss, I suggest listening to this podcast. Now, listening for over 4 years and still looking forward to new episodes. Aaron and Chris play off each other great, and you can tell they are friends, which lends to a good program. That's 5 stars, and that comes from Snake65 from melodicrock.com on Apple Podcasts. So thank you very much, Snake. Appreciate that. We have a Facebook recommendation this week. Well, we don't have a Podchaser review, surprise, surprise. So, of course, I want to make sure you guys know that Podchaser.com is an awesome site, and we really would appreciate your reviews. You can even review individual episodes, which I have a feeling we're going to get a few reviews, good and bad, from this episode. So, Facebook recommendation this week comes from Paul Smith. He says, I highly recommend this podcast. Chris and Aaron know their stuff and are keeping the music I love alive. Thank you so much, Paul. Short, sweet, to the point. Always nice to hear the reviews and recommendations. We want to hear those every week. Otherwise, Aaron gets very upset and needs tissues. He needs tissues this week because he's got a lot of snot in his head, just like I do. Geeks of the Week this week. These are the people that shared on Facebook, retweeted on Twitter. Last week's gift-giving ideas. I hope some of you bought some of the suggestions we had, such as swords and tequila and a detachable penis. Those are great gifts to give for anybody. Geeks of the Week this week are Mike Grabowski, Dan Nation, Simon Catt, David Cathy, John Phillips, Jeffrey Mendenhall, Aaron Martell, Eric Luzier, James West, Aaron Parkin, Destroyer Senior, see what you did there, Jay Sibluski, In Obscuria Podcast, Rob Harris, David Glenn, The Bakery Podcast, Aaron Baker, Wayne Cross, Kristen Schimbeck, Mike Parnell, Bill Elam, Aaron, Andrew Jacobs, Christopher Stokes, Mark Alden Taylor, Freeform Rock Podcast, Andy LaFon, Todd Cunningham, Nate Atchison, Sean Cullen, Mikhail Burrell, Warren Edward, LaRue Baker, Shane Aber, Scott Crouch, Jeff Taylor, Daniel Lee, Eladio, Robin the Hood, and as always, by myself this time, the Mooger Fooger. Okay, so now that the business is out of the way, let me introduce my friend. He's a man of many names. His main name is Rick, but he also goes by Shecky, and he goes by PoserBoy71 on message boards. And Rick, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Chris. It's good to be here, and it was great to be there. It was, I'm just happy to be anywhere right now.
And you, and we'll get into yours and my history a little bit, at least what we can say on mic, a little bit later. But you actually attended the event also. We're talking about the Vinnie Vincent Merry Metal Xmas. Is that how they, Merry Metal Christmas? Is that how they went, named it? I can't remember.
I say Christmas.
Okay. So,
I say Christmas. So.
Yeah. So basically what happened was this, this happened in Nashville. And as everybody knows, I wouldn't cross the street to go see Vinnie Vincent. But at the same time, I had a lot of friends who would and actually did go to this thing. And Aaron and I know a lot of these people. And there's some people I wanted to meet for the first time. So our mutual friend, Rosie Luck, who I've known her through different KISS events, she set up a cool little lunch thing over in Nashville, for people that were coming in for it and invited Aaron and I to come. And I wanted to see Rosie. I wanted to see you. Also, I wanted to see a few other people. And some of the people we wanted to see were at the lunch. And Aaron and I actually got them on microphone as we were eating lunch before the event started. So we're going to throw to that here in a second. And you're going to hear kind of what their anticipation was of what the event was going to be. Also, a little bit about their personal history and how they got into KISS. Some of the people you're going to hear from include Rosie and her cool son, Alistair. Alistair might have been my favorite person to talk to that weekend. He's like, I think he's 8 years old, and it was his birthday present to go to this event. And also, A guy named Rip Rockin, who I know some of you that are on the KISS FAQ message board are very familiar with this guy. And I met him at the Rockin' Pod Expo last year because he was in town for the birthday bash. And you'll kind of get an interesting take on him. Also, Mike Brunn, who kind of became the, I guess, the media correspondent for this event for the most part. You know, Vinny had him do an onstage interview with him, and we'll get to details on that. You can give your review of that. And also, his interview came out this week, and Mike's a really good guy. I've met him at the Nashville Gene Simmons Vault thing that Vinny was at, and he was in Atlanta also. And he's got live videos of KISS-related stuff out the wazoo on YouTube, so you should check it out. And his podcast is called Rock and Roll Experience with Mike Brunn, so I'm happy to welcome him into the podcasting community. So I was interested to get his take on stuff, so was Aaron. And Mike also brought Vincent LaRussa, whose brother Pete, and he put together the Torpedo Dudes theme song that we have for our Patreon thing. If you go to patreon.com/decibelgeek, it's our own KISS podcast, so we talk about KISS all the time on that thing. And those guys wrote and performed the song. It's great. Also, we talked to Neil Davis, who was one of the organizers of Cruise Fest that, as you guys know, my partner Joe D'Angelo, who helps me with Rockin' Pod, put that together with Neil. So we get a little bit of updates on how Cruise Fest went, and I got to meet Neil for the first time, and a little bit of insight into what he's expecting in the future. But he was in town for the event, so it was great to meet him. So I don't want to bore you too much with setup here, but those are the people you're going to hear from. Little five to 10-minute interviews each. And then we'll come back with Rick, and we will get his experience from start to finish. And I have a lot of questions that I want answered. So here are the interviews from before the event. Enjoy those, and then join us back in about 40 minutes. All right, so... So our first victim of the day, Mr. Rip Rockin, met you last year actually at the Expo because you were going to the birthday bash.
That's correct.
Later that night. So there are people that like us and Vinny, so just making that clear. And you're here for the Christmas thing. So what are your expectations? Are you wondering how this is going to go off? I mean, you attended the birthday bash, or do you think it's going to be much the same as that?
I think it's going to be that cranked up even more. It's two full days. The birthday bash was outstanding. It just exceeded everyone's expectations because, a lot of people bought tickets not really knowing if it was going to go off. And I remember when I got back to my hotel room, there were people already online fully anticipating it to cancel. And I said, nope, and told them all about it. And so this time, there's been a little bit more time to plan it out and plan out what's going to happen. And a good fixed start time and everything. And I'm sure that some of it will sort of it's not like fixed, like, okay, at 3 o'clock we do this, 5 o'clock we do this. Mm-hmm. It's going to be kind of organic. Right. But overall, a lot of good stuff in there. Yeah, I think we're all going to have a blast. If it's anything like the birthday bash was, I think it will. Mm-hmm. That was a party of a lifetime. It was great.
How much playing did Vinny do at the birthday bash?
I would say there was probably a total of about, between two separate times, he played twice. Probably a total of about 20 minutes or something. He was playing when we walked in. And, of course, everyone was just, you've probably heard my interview with Mike. I mean, everyone was just like roaring, because there were all these rumors that, and people looking at the old Lick It Up video from the pre-party or whatever. And, he can't play anymore. No. I mean, he was smoking, And then he came down and greeted everyone. And then after that, he said, hey, you guys want to see me play again? And we're like, yeah, So he got up there and played again. And then after that.
Is this electric or acoustic that he's doing?
Electric.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
nice.
He had his Carbon Double B. Yeah, the Carbon Double B.
Holy shit, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, and obviously, we're both outsiders to that event, which most people were. There's only a select group of folks that went to that. And you're a regular on KISS FAQ. I don't post as much, but I read it every day. And you, you've definitely had a lot of back and forth with the people on there, and you're viewed as like Vinny's representative in those ways. Like, how do you answer to that? Are you on the inside or are you just a fan?
There was one guy. It's been a couple months back, and he said something. I thought, bingo, you got it, dude. He said, I think Rip knows that the joke is on us right now. He's having fun with it. He's playing the character, you know. Mm-hmm. I went in there first, you know, trying to spread the good word. Hey, you know, and he's back and everything. And, dude, I was not prepared for the torrent of hate from, you know, from angry KISS fans and stuff like that. I mean, it was nothing like I'd seen. And I've seen some trolls on a message board before, but it was just pounding. And so I didn't know how to, you know, it took a while to sort of find a groove there. But after a while, I just thought, man, you know, I can be serious and still just sort of roll with a joke at the same time and try not to really fight with people too much. I mean, it's really like professional wrestling in there. And so as
everything's
long as you,
exaggerated. Well, and I think it's a thing where, as somebody that reads it every day, it's a, like, the truth is in the middle.
Right.
I don't know that they're as hateful as they can come off to you, but I don't think you're as much of a zealot as you come off to them. You get what I'm saying?
Exactly. Yeah.
And I met you last year, and only knowing you from the online persona and whatever, and I'll say, you know, you're a nice guy, and like, you came to the expo, you had a good time, and you know, you're definitely a diehard Vinny fan, and like, and I've
absolutely
told, and I've told people, despite our interaction and, you know, issues with the guy, I don't begrudge anyone still being a fan, because I was one of you until it was my turn. So my issues with him are my issues with him, and I'm not going to say that you're a bad person for still supporting me.
No way.
Because you haven't had any reason to say otherwise.
No, and on the other side of that, too, to me, what's cool about this goes beyond Vinnie Vincent. It goes to what people are doing in the modern age that still have a love for rock music, whether it's Vinnie Vincent, KISS, or any other rock band out there. You know, to see people that have come from so far away that paid a good amount of money to be at this thing, you know, it's rock and roll, and people are still supporting it, and to me, that's awesome, you know. And yeah, we've had our run-ins with Vinnie Vincent, but before that, you know, and everybody knows it, we're guys that flew the flag probably harder than anybody, you know, anticipating for a day like this to come, where Vinnie Vincent would return and Vinnie Vincent would play guitar, and maybe it would lead to something better where he'd come out with some new music. And that's always what it's been about for me. And coming into Decibel Geek, I wasn't a fanatical Vinnie Vincent fan like my good friend Chris here, but it makes me wonder, you know, you're such a diehard Vinnie Vincent fan. Well, how does that come to be? I mean, how do you personally become so enamored with a guy like Vinnie Vincent?
Wow, I wonder how I can answer this. So I grew up loving music, of course.
Okay.
And, you know, to use a cliched term, a lot of this music, you know, helped form the soundtrack of my life.
Totally.
You know? And so you equate those songs and those with specific moments in time. And there are specific songs that he had that, you know, lift you up in the best of times and help you up out of the ditch in the worst of times.
Mm-hmm.
And so those things are really meaningful. And then later on in life, you know, really starting in the, I think probably the mid-90s, when rock was kind of dying out a little bit, or our type, you know, and the grunge was around and everyone wanted to have a bad time, no one was into having a good time anymore, it became a lot easier to meet some of your idols and your favorite, you know, it was easy, you know, you go see a show now, you go see Winger, and then they're hanging out after the show, oh wow, you know, it's not like they just get in the bus and drive off. So I met a ton of people. Now, Vinny was always on my bucket list. In fact, before I guess he sort of reemerged in Atlanta, I think you'll have a 5-part special. So I was like, man, someone needs to go find that guy and, you know, bring him out. I mean, he can't just be living alone like this with no one around. He means so much to a lot of people.
Yeah.
And I thought that, I mean, I would be the type of guy that would do that, but, you know, I got a busy life.
Right.
So I was just thrilled when he came out in Atlanta. I'm like, yeah, you know. I thought I'd never have the opportunity to meet him, and he's the nicest. My experience, he's just wonderful. And
it was hard not to love him that day in Atlanta.
Yeah. He was great.
Oh, he was a sweetheart that day.
Yeah.
I was thrilled to meet him, you know. And when you got up there in line and got to meet him, he took a little time and was super cool, and got our picture taken with
him.
He's
always good with the fans.
I walked away from that Atlanta Expo feeling like a bigger Vinnie Vincent fan than I'd ever been.
So did you grow up listening to him?
I was familiar with Creatures of the Night, and of course Vinnie Vincent Invasion, when they came out, I was totally into them. So I'm a fan of many, many bands, but that was always one that Vinny's work was always something that just sort of, you know, stuck in there with me. You know what I mean? It was just right among my favorite artists and stuff. And also such an intriguing guy, yeah. You know, too. And then later on, you know, the mystique that sort of built around him. You just want to meet him even more.
The mystique was what pulled me in to start with, because there was just, you know, there's a lot of mystery there. You know, nobody knew what had happened to him or he had been anything. But
It was like you said, trying to solve a mystery.
It really
whatever
was.
Whatever happened to you, kind of a thing, you know? And you know so many people out there are fans of this guy. I said, when we started the show, I didn't understand. But then once I kind of got integrated what Chris was doing, it was totally the enigma of Vinnie Vincent, the mythology of Vinnie Vincent, and the mystery of what's going on with this guy. He's too good to just fade away, you know?
Yeah. Well, and that's part of why we're here today. I mean, like I said, we're not going to the event, if any of you listening are wondering, but...
It's not too late. We can get you in.
We don't have any fake mustaches.
We don't. I don't think we would be welcome if we did one. But there's a lot of
fake mustaches and accents.
Yeah, but there's...
There's
a lot of friends here in town for it, so it's like, why not bring the recorder down and... Yeah. You know, get a little man on the street type stuff and
absolutely.
And see how it goes. And but
he's excited. You're going, right?
I think.
Yeah. Are you nervous?
Oh, I'm a little nervous,
But yeah, so we're going to talk to a few other people. But thanks for taking the time to talk with us.
Absolutely, man. Thank you, man. It's a pleasure. Always good to see you.
Awesome. Right. Thank you, brother.
Rip rocking. Anything you want to say to the KISS FAQ readers right now? Because they're going to be listening.
Yes. Okay, for everyone on KISS FAQ, I want you to know I love you all. Wish you a Merry Christmas. And I'll see you back on the boards doing my normal thing as soon as we finish up with the trip. Giving you guys a hard time and getting in your craw and everything. So looking forward to that. Merry Christmas.
And Rip and I are going to share a salad now.
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, wow.
Is that what it was? Yeah, giant.
All right, we're good.
All right, so Mike Brunn.
Yep.
And what's your name again? I'm terrible.
Vincent LaRusso.
Vincent LaRusso.
Vincent LaRusso, you're the guy that made the Torpedo Dudes theme.
Right, yeah, me and my brother.
We're huge fans.
Yes.
We're very happy about that.
Thank you guys so much.
Yep. Thank you.
And Mike, well known among KISS circles for a lot of your live videos.
Yep.
It seems like you're at every event there is.
I was for a couple of years. Absolutely, it seemed that way.
And now you're in the podcast world.
A little bit, yeah. I dabble a little bit here and there. Yeah.
And you've got quite an interesting day ahead of you, or 2 days ahead of you, because you're actually going to be broadcasting live from this?
Yeah, I'll be broadcasting for a little bit. He doesn't want anybody to go live during the performances.
Right.
So there'll be no video of the performances, but it sounds like I'm open to videotape anything else I want.
Okay.
And I will be interviewing him tomorrow as well.
Right on.
Yeah. How long are you going to get to interview him for?
Sounds like maybe close to an hour, I guess.
Wow, that's great.
So, you know, we're going to do it in an open forum, so everybody who's there will get to hear it and see it as well.
Sweet.
So,
do you have a long list of questions ready to go?
I've got about 15, 20 questions, and I know Vinny likes to talk, so... I get through three, and he'll do the rest of the work. He'll make my job easy.
Oh, yeah. He's an easy interview.
Absolutely.
Should I give Mike my KISS question, my Vinny question?
Yeah, you should.
Go ahead.
All right, this is my Vinny question. Don't tell him it came from me.
Because he won't answer.
When Vinny Vincent joined KISS, he was given the Egyptian warrior gimmick, right?
Yep.
That was given to him.
Yep.
If Vinny Vincent were to pick his own gimmick for KISS, mm-hmm. what would it have been?
Interesting.
That's one thing I've always wanted to ask him. I've never had the chance.
I'll try to work that in.
Great question.
But it came from me.
Perfect. Great question, Mike.
It is.
Awesome.
Man, I'm glad you thought of it.
Just wink at the camera when you ask an airman.
There you go. Absolutely.
But that's pretty interesting that you're getting to do this. So, I mean, have you had a lot of talks with him over the last few weeks?
You know, we've communicated more so with his manager.
Yeah.
I did do a phone interview with him about 6-8 weeks ago, hour and a half we spent on the phone. He's been nothing but super nice to me.
Mm-hmm.
I know some other people have had different experiences, but my experience has been positive.
Really? People have had bad experiences with him?
So I've heard through the grapevine.
Oh. That's news to me.
Yeah.
But I'm as a podcaster, we're excited for you.
Thank you. I appreciate
that. That's a big opportunity to get.
No, I appreciate that.
Yeah. So is there anything you can tease us with that you want to ask him?
You know, an interesting question to me. I've thought of this, and I actually saw somebody else post it on the net. We're all big KISS fans here, right?
Right.
So we know up until the Creatures of the Night tour, prior to that, when Kiss did Black Diamond, they always ended it the traditional way, was on the album, you know, just the power chord and the cymbals. And when Vinny joined the band, they changed the ending. And it's actually the ending they use on the End of the Road tour as well. I'm curious if he had a hand in making that change, something else. I've never heard anybody talk about it.
That's,
so
that's, the timing would seem right for right? sure.
From what I've always thought, Vinny was a big Jeff Beck fan.
Yep.
And I think that's kind of a nod to Bolero, which if you listen to Jeff Beck's Bolero, it's got a similar sound to it.
Yep.
And I'm willing to bet that he brought that to the table.
But we'll see.
I wouldn't be surprised.
It's a great question.
Yeah. Gene and him bonded over Jeff Beck early on.
Absolutely.
So I wouldn't be shocked if that was what that
absolutely.
Was.
Absolutely, yeah, so.
And I love that part.
Like, yeah, no, me
that's
too.
That's the best ending for Black Diamond.
I agree. I agree. So I'm curious just to see. Exactly.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
So I'm curious to see what he says about
that's
that.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. So what are you anticipating for this? I mean,
why don't you go first?
Yeah, what do you think? What do you think's going to happen?
I think we're going to, you know, hear and see things that we've been anticipating for all these years. I think it's going to be really exciting to, first of all, for me personally, see Vinny play.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he played at the pre-cruise party, but he didn't do any soloing and
no
stuff like that.
But
to actually see after all these years his hands doing all the work.
That's
you
the
know,
most, that's the big question on everyone's mind is can he really play?
Yeah.
Right. So,
yeah, and my position on that is at the birthday bash, too many people are saying, yes, he did. So I tend to believe he did.
Yeah.
But the word I keep saying, and my friend's going to smack me because I've said it 1,000 times today, I'm intrigued.
Yeah,
definitely.
I am intrigued over
it's
what's going to happen.
By the way.
It is, right? I'm really intrigued to see what's going to happen over the next 2 days.
We are, too.
I don't come in with tremendous expectations, and I don't say that to be negative. I just don't want to raise a bar too high that, you know, I'm only disappointed.
Right.
Yeah.
But we'll see. I'm intrigued.
Yeah. And I met you for the first time at the Gene Simmons Vault event last year.
Absolutely, yeah.
And that was an interesting day, too, because, like, that was the first time him and, you know, Vinny and Gina gotten on stage. It was kind of an awkward situation.
It was
too.
To me, it was very awkward. I remember being right up front, right, literally first row, like, no closer, no further than you and I are sitting right now. And you could just feel the awkwardness between
there
the two of them. There was tension there.
Yeah.
Vinny got on stage, and within 6-7 minutes, Gene was like, all right, so I'm going to go meet people. Yeah. And Vinny was like, well, I just got here. What are you doing?
But at the same time, I understand Vinny was almost an hour late.
He was. Absolutely.
And Gene's got a schedule to keep. And not to just defend Gene, but I talked to the people that were running that place. And, you know, there was a contract for a certain amount of time.
Yep, absolutely.
So, and I'm sure our friend Keith, who does the vault stuff, he's like, you know, we got to keep this,
we got to keep this show moving.
Right.
To finish, and those autographs for those vault buyers are priority one.
Absolutely.
Because these people laid out $2,000.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And we know Gene is usually very generous of his time.
He is. Yeah. So I don't think it was. Don't think it was a negative thing for Gene to have to leave. But I think he just had to leave.
Yeah. And if you remember that day, it was bad weather.
Yeah, it was kind of a nasty day weather-wise, and it was very awkward. It was even more awkward when Gene left, because, like, there was just a few of us up there at the front, and I think a lot of vault buyers were there for Gene, not there for Vinny, so it was a strange day. There was a weird vibe the whole day, but you got some great video that day.
Yeah, no, it was good, and, you know, we've spoke this before. I flew in that morning, flew out the same day, so I had, like, literally, like, a 22-hour day that day to go to that. But it was worth it. As awkward as it was with the two of them,
that's one of a kind.
Chances are we'll never see that again.
We'll never see the two of them sharing a stage.
So to me, it was worth it.
I think that's my regret number 76. Not
probably that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you did help with the Torpedo Dude song.
Yeah, well, totally. I'm golden, right?
Very funny.
Yeah.
Awesome. So yeah, so it's gonna be. We're gonna be glued to your page for the next 2 days.
No, thank you.
So thanks for taking some time to talk to us.
No, thank you, and I hope he lets me go live and do some of the videos, and I look forward to sharing it with everybody. So thank you guys, and thank you guys for the show that you guys do. Appreciate it.
Oh, thank you.
Awesome. Yes, awesome.
Good to see you.
Right.
Yes, likewise. Cool. Thanks.
All right, so Neil Davis, I know you personally now through Cruise Fest, because you work with my partner Joe.
That's right.
Who's your partner.
Mm-hmm.
And, love Joe.
congrats on the success of Cruise Fest. Looks like it was a great time.
Yeah, well, it was. It was, it was really, for all of us, it, and more from, we wanted to make it the biggest pre-cruise party that had previously happened, but it just kind of morphed and grew over the year, and really turned into like a second full-time job for all of us.
Yeah.
And
feeling.
You go through something like that, there's the highs and lows through it all, but everything kind of came together, and there was a certain amount of kind of controlled chaos, which I think made it feel organic and real for everybody.
I remember when Joe was going through the it was right around the time that the expo happened for me, and him and Joe and his great wife Patrice were in town for Rock and Pod, and and he was telling me about the hotel change that had to happen midway through. And I remember, because he was like, oh, just watch on social media, it's going to be a mess. And
well, that's right, because we cut the commercial for it, and then it changed.
Aaron did the voiceover for the commercial. And and then we had to redo it because of the hotel change. And that, I mean, I book Rock and Pod every year, so I understand how difficult that must have been for you guys, because it was. But you guys pulled it off. I mean, I was, and I saw nothing but rave reviews about it.
Well, we did. I mean, because as online, you'll hear everything unfiltered from everybody, and no matter what you do, you're usually going to hear some negativity, and it's one of the few events ever. I haven't seen anything poorly written about it, and I certainly looked. I was curious, and I mean, but we front ended all the criticism. Before the hotel room change, we had a ticketing issue the day the event went on sale. There was so much activity coming from all over the world. Visa, MasterCard have these international fraud detectors, and they said, wait a minute, something's happening, and they shut it down, and so we had to explain through that, and we spent the whole day working through that. Literally, we ended up being, that was a challenge we worked through up until the time of the event. And then, though, what happened was there's been some other festivals, like Fyre Festival, a few other festivals that end up, being scams almost, if you will. So then they looked into us. They said, we're not sure about this, we had to change credit card processors in the middle of it all. And then the hotel had some challenges we had to work through. So, we were kind of we're taking headshots along the way. So, fortunately, we as I said, we got all the tough part early on.
Yeah, he came out real good.
That's wild. So you're in town for this Vinnie Vincent Merry Metal Christmas Party. What's your anticipation for what's going to happen in these next 2 days?
That's a question that I don't know if I have a real expectation. I don't know what to expect. I'm one of the few people had the opportunity to see Kiss or Vinny perform with Kiss on the Creatures of the Night tour. So, I still have memories as a kid seeing that, and what an amazing musician he was.
Oh, you saw the Creatures
tour. Yeah, saw the Creatures tour.
What stop?
Lakeland.
Oh, okay. Was it as sparsely attended as they say it was?
Yeah, I was just telling, I had seen the Dynasty tour, the same venue at Lakeland a few years earlier, and, sold out, 10,000-12,000 people, and back then everything was general admission, so, being all the way in the back somewhere, and for this show, I showed up, I wasn't there at the beginning of the morning, and I think I was, 10 people back, and I would imagine there was maybe a couple thousand people. But it was great. They had the Plasmatics open, which was amazing.
Oh, that's
to see. See that, and then them come out and perform. And as poorly as that tour was attended, it was an amazing show. So it's a shame that more Kiss fans at that point, they were at such a low that so many people didn't chance to see that tour.
Yeah, I hate that. There's really the only professional footage we have of that tour is the Rio stuff. That was like a makeshift stage.
It wasn't the tank and everything.
I wish that I wish they professionally shot one of those American shows.
Awesome. When you went there that day, were you aware that it wasn't going to be Ace Frehley playing guitar?
No, I did. In fact, because a lot of people didn't know then, and I made little bets with people because nobody had heard about it all, and $5 bet. I mean, I was still in high school at the time. They were going, no, he's still in it. So I had to bring back a t-shirt the next day. I said, not Ace Frehley.
That's shrewd on your part.
But it was great.
Hey,
awesome. It was amazing. But anyways, back to your question. I think I had the opportunity 2 years ago to see Vinny, meet Vinny at the pre-cruise party. I'm just a lifelong kind of Kiss, you know, kind of, you know, Kiss has been a big part of my life, and this is something so different, you know, than a traditional structured show, meet and greet, and I thought, you know, I'm going to give it a try, and I've never been to Nashville, so I said, you know, I go see a town that everyone talks so much about, and then see this, and you know, listen, we've all heard different things about dependability on some other events and so forth, so that went through my head, but I, you know, I think, you know, his Steve, who works with him, has been great about communicating with me all along the way, and we were talking over the other table saying, you know, what do you think we're going to do? I mean, so what's going to happen first? So it's in that regard, I don't have an expectations, except it's kind of exciting about in this day and age where, you know, you can get on the internet and find out what the band's going to play before they play and so forth, that it's just completely, you know, new and different.
You're
and,
really walking into it blind.
That just doesn't happen anymore.
I'm of two minds with the way it's going, with how he's going about these events, because, you know, and like the overriding logic among outsiders is, why not do 30 seconds of shredding on a YouTube clip and putting it out, and you get more people to come to your show.
Right.
But then at the same time, his logic is, if you want to see me play, you pay up and you come to the show, and you don't have any idea of how it's going to go. So it's one of those things where it's like he is kind of reintroducing spontaneity, which is kind of a dead art these days.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but at the same time, I also feel like it's a better business move. Show that you can do it, and then they'll come. But that's, then again, we wouldn't be recording a special right now if we knew one way or the other.
Yeah. Well, you know, and I've had the pleasure of meeting Vinny, but I by no means profess that I know him. But I think, you know, similar to a lot of artists, you know, they have a certain way they look at things. That's what makes them an artistic genius in a sense. But they might, you know, look at ways just differently than we might look at it.
Right.
And so this is, you know, he has the luxury of designing however he wants to. Nobody else does it like this. So in that regard, you know, I'm taking the glass is half full with all of this. You know, it's going to be an experience. And, you know, I still remember the Creatures of the Night tour because it was something new with him being a new guitarist. And I'm hopefully years from now, I'll think back to this week in Nashville and say, hey, there's something just different, you know, unexpected.
Well, it should be interesting to see how it goes one way or the other.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, thanks for joining us.
I think the overriding current for everybody we've talked to so far has been curiosity, you know, and anticipation. You know, the hope that it's going to be what everybody's hoped it was going to be all along.
Yeah.
And like you said, the suspense is it's killing everybody.
Yeah.
It's killing me.
Yeah. Well, as a Kiss fan, I mean, I'm rooting for them. I'm rooting for anybody involved with Kiss. And with the information age we have in, you know, everybody shares opinions, and there's a wide range of opinions out there that we've all seen. You know, I just, you know, my mind is that we lose the people that we grew up, you know, that had huge influences on us, you know, on a weekly basis, it seems now. So take every opportunity to celebrate the people that meant a lot to you. And probably like you guys and everybody listening to this, you know, there was, you know, low points in our lives when we're kids, and, you know, music was my therapy, and you know, going down and listening to it all. So you know, I a lot of these guys don't know kind of the places they brought me out of, and that's probably a common story that everybody feels. So I'm always going to give them the benefit of the doubt, and they might approach things differently, but I think hopefully it'll be a memorable experience.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And Cruise Fest is going to happen again next year?
Yes. Yeah, we officially announced it, and you know, one of my partners, Jay, is sitting over the other room, and I was telling somebody that last year, you know, we would weekly get on these conference calls, and they'd be an hour and a half, 2 hours, and exhausting, you know, but we're going through everything. And we just had our first one last week, so, you know, we're gearing back to it all, and, you know, it was... Thank you so well received. The challenge is, you know, how do you take something that universally people thought was a great event, and how do you make it better?
Yeah.
And, you know, we kind of say, you know, now the bar's real. We got a lot more room below us than above us to exceed what we have.
I go through that every year with my event.
Yeah.
That's a good problem to have.
But you're challenging yourself every year.
Yeah.
And of course, you always get to a point every year, you're like, why did I want to do this?
But then
the show happens, and you're like, that's why.
No, I mean, when you have partners doing things, there's times, you know, it's like having, you know, four spouses, and, you know, it's just not easy. And there's times there's that tension and so forth, but I remember all of us just kind of hugging each other. The first night, you know, we got there nervous, you know, about the event, and just saying, you know, what aren't we thinking about? What about this? What about that? And challenging ourselves, saying, what else should we be doing? And at the end of the first night, you know, we all just got together and just hugged each other and said, hey, this is going to work. This is going to be great. So,
that's great.
Yeah.
Thanks again for joining us.
Yeah, thank you guys.
Thank
you.
Okay.
Thanks.
Hi, Rosie.
Hi.
Welcome back to Nashville.
Hello.
Are you excited?
Nashville's welcoming me.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Welcome back to Nashville.
Yes, I'm very excited.
Yeah?
Yeah, of course. Anytime to see Vinny is always good.
How'd you become such a big Vinny Vincent fan?
Oh, Vinny himself, I'll be truthful here, I just thought he was hot when I got into Kiss.
Oh, yeah.
When did you get into Kiss?
When I was about Alistair's age.
A couple of years ago?
I went to a garage sale when I was a kid, and I had just gotten a big record player somebody had, like, thrown out in the trash, and my dad scooped it up for me. And I bought Live on vinyl for a quarter.
That's a good story.
Nice.
And especially Cold Gin. I didn't know what gin was.
Mm, yeah.
Me
but that was my song.
That was me. That's the one that opened the door for me.
Yeah, I had no idea. Yeah. I didn't know. You could not have asked me what gin was when I was a kid.
Yeah,
didn't care.
I thought it was called Cold Gin. So I didn't even know any better.
Yeah, and I loved that song. And then right after that, I came across Kiss Me, Phantom of the Park on sale at a video rental store.
My God, you and I had the same child.
Oh, Jesus.
This is crazy.
And that movie is really what sealed it for me.
Oh, really?
I really got into the band.
You need to come to Rockin' Pod next year.
Oh, I'll be there.
I'll tell you about it off mic. We're planning on something with that movie.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I'll be there. Yeah. And that got me into Kiss. And I remember the first time I saw the cover of Lick It Up, I just thought Vinny was...
Yeah, he was your guy?
He was such a dreamboat.
Seriously.
Yeah.
It was that purple shirt that did it for you.
I have to admit that the non-makeup days of Kiss are probably my favorite.
Yeah.
And,
it was a good time.
I think that a lot of what I liked in my teenage years being like metal and the really harder stuff and what Vinny contributed to that was a lot of why I liked that.
Yeah.
Dig that. Vinny definitely brought some heaviness to Kiss.
Their sound changed when he came out.
Definitely, and I think that was a lot of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I liked what Vinny did for Kiss. I thought it was a much needed change.
Were you in Atlanta for the return?
I was.
You were there?
I was.
How did we not talk when you were there?
Hold on.
So how many hours in line were you waiting to leave? Did you do either of the meetings?
I'm going to be honest, I didn't wait in line.
Wow.
But I was there.
Yeah.
But no, I ended up covering one of the guest booths.
Oh, really?
At the time of the meet and greets.
Okay.
And that particular guest had to leave for an emergency for a couple of hours, so I missed my meet and greet. And after he got back, he had me.
Oh, was that your first time meeting him?
That was my first time ever meeting Vinny, yes.
And how did that go?
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
He was great in Atlanta.
Yeah. Vinny's...
that was always a great weekend for everybody.
It was. Yeah. Vinny has always been absolute pleasure to me.
Yeah, he's always good with the fans.
He is the sweetest guy, and he always remembers my name, which I can't say for most... you know, rock stars.
Yeah.
He always remembers me, and I appreciate that. And he always remembers Alistair, even though he's never met him.
Till today.
He's going to meet him later today, but he...
So, Alistair, I know you didn't want to be on mic, but are you excited to meet Vinny Vincent today?
Yeah.
Are you a big fan?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Alistair's middle name is Vincent after Vinny.
Wow.
Fully indoctrinated.
I wanted to be after him and Vincent.
But it's nice. Not.
There's a kid that knows who Vincent Price is.
That's one cool kid.
That's one cool kid.
Yeah.
That's pretty bad.
He's an unusual child.
That's okay.
I even remember that I've seen rated R movies.
Oh, great. Good to know.
I think we found our highlight for the episode. That's awesome.
I've seen Creepshow. I've seen...
Oh, Creepshow rules.
Army of Darkness.
Well, that's a good one, too.
I don't know if any Godzilla movies are rated R, but I've seen lots of Godzilla.
He does love Godzilla. Godzilla. But back to Vinny.
That's parenting done right.
Yeah.
What about Kiss concerts? You've been to Kiss concerts,
I've
right?
I've been to one.
Yeah? But you were right up close, right?
Yep.
How was that?
awesome.
Yeah?
And I was the first one to get one of Catman's drumsticks.
Nice. Awesome.
Yep.
What's your favorite Kiss song?
God of Thunder.
That's right on.
What was your favorite Kiss member?
Gene.
Yeah, that's a cool kid.
He loves Gene.
Yeah.
But he met Gene before that show at Wizard World.
Oh, yeah?
Because you were getting signed.
Yep, that's when Gene signed my leg.
And then you got it tattooed over.
Yeah, you've got a famous tattoo collection.
Yeah.
I think people just like my leg.
She has all four original members of Kiss.
I do now. I just got Paul on the Kiss Cruise. Finally. It was my first time meeting Paul.
Show them your neck.
Oh, that? Yeah, the back of my neck I got?
Black diamond.
Wow. Oh, that's pretty
nice.
Cool. Black diamond tattoo.
I got that on the cruise, too.
I like this kid.
He knows the stuff.
Chris hey, Hope, I don't just know Kiss. I know tons of other bands.
Yeah?
Ramones, Misfits, The Beatles.
Oh, this kid rules.
Nice. His cast name is even Misfit.
I was originally going to name him The Fiend, because that's the Misfits guy.
Right.
But my mom told me that there is also a drug called that, so I'm like, nope, not naming him. I'm like, nope, not naming him.
All right,
Fiend.
Rosie, you can leave. We're just going to talk to Alex.
Yeah.
I'm like, your name's Misfit, okay?
So is Kiss your favorite band?
One of them.
Who's your other favorite bands?
Ramones.
Ramones number one?
It's awesome.
Ramones and Kiss. Ramones and Kiss.
Nice.
That's awesome. He made me listen to a lot of AFI on the drive here.
AFI, okay. Ramones, Kiss. What was the other one?
I like AFI, but he wanted to listen to the All Hallows EP, like, repeatedly.
What's your favorite Ramones song?
Glitch Creep Bop.
That's
nice.
Yeah, you can go. That's cool.
Glitch Creep Bop.
Very cool.
And then my second favorite Ramones song is definitely Pet Sematary.
That's a great one, too.
I don't want to be buried in a pet cemetery.
And I can honestly say he does not get that from me because I'm not a Ramones fan.
Oh, the Ramones are amazing. One of my top
would, I was
if
a
you
sex
ever do quit Decibel Geek, I think I found your replacement.
You got your co-host right here.
I was a Sex Pistols fan, and I feel like it's tough to be both.
Yeah.
I like the Sex Pistols, but I love the Ramones.
Yeah, he loves the Ramones.
That's awesome.
So you guys are in for an exciting weekend.
So
I hope.
What's your anticipation for this? What do you think is going to happen?
I think that it's just going to be a group of like-minded people that are probably in different stages of Vinny fandom.
Yeah.
Because as just we even saw just from the table here,
there's different stages today.
Casual people and there's Vinny people.
Vinny devotees.
I think that it should be a good time.
If he says there's complimentary Kool-Aid, are you going to drink it?
I might.
I already have.
I had to put it out there.
It'll be
pink, I'm sure.
I've been drinking the Vinny Kool-Aid since I was like 10.
What are Vinny Kool-Aids?
But
are they literally Kool-Aid but with Vinny pictures?
You see, you'll have to ask
don't
them
about
it when
it
you see
it. It's going to be okay. You don't need to know that much.
Yeah, I've been drinking the Vinny Kool-Aid for a long time.
Is it wine?
No, it's not wine. Oh my God. I'll tell you about it later.
Oh, this is great.
Ow. I tried to smack your hand off my face, but smacked mine.
I think we're getting booted out of here.
Well, I hope you guys have fun.
Have fun.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for setting up the lunch today. It was great.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, this
was
fun.
My pleasure. Right. Hopefully we get some.
Okay, so it was cool to go to that lunch and see everybody, and of course everybody, including us, was wondering how was this going to go down, because this was a big deal. This was a 2-day event that he had been promoting, and as with anything Vinnie Vincent, it's kind of up in the air on how things are going to go, and some of there's a lot of stuff going back and forth online, and it was just curious because Aaron and I were like, well, we should cover this. You know, it's one of those things where whether we like it or not, we've kind of become the Vinnie Vincent podcast. And we're like, we should cover this in some form. And Rick, you and I go back, what, 2009 or 2010 with Vinnie Vincent stuff, correct?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah.
We were going to write a book, and then it just turned into you taking it to the podcast medium, which was really cool.
And yeah, it was going to be a book, and then thanks to my computer crapping out and me losing most of my materials, then I got into podcasting at the time, and those of you that listen know the whole story. But anyway, we go back a long time, and the search for Vinnie Vincent was a long one for a lot of years, and, you know, we learned a lot of information over the years. It was an interesting thing. It's kind of bizarre this many years. It's funny I'm saying that it's bizarre that he's in the public eye now, but it is, because for a very long time, I don't think we even thought he would ever come back. So it's kind of interesting to be in
not
this,
at all.
Interesting to be in this scenario now. So you decided to go to this event. You went to Atlanta. You attempted to go to the birthday bash, but you actually got turned away at the door, correct?
Yes, I did, actually. They had a rule, and they stuck to it. But, you know, the good part about that weekend is that I was at Rockin' Pod 3.
Yes.
And that was exceptional. It was a great time, and it was bigger than ever. And I look forward to Rockin' Pod 4 in 2020.
Yeah, already working on that. But yeah, it was great to see you. So you showed up cash in hand, and they said, nope, we're not letting you in.
Pretty much. They knew I was in town, and it was just nope.
Yeah,
plain and simple, just nope. You can't come.
So how do you wind up?
No, I mean, I could have just showed up at, you know, SIR, but I mean, I'm not going to push any boundaries or anything like that. You know,
right. So did how did you make the decision to come this time?
Had the ways to do it and showed up, and I was known. Put it this way, before I even get going too much into this, I want to just give a heartfelt thanks to Stephen Wilkie, Silky Wilkie. He is a very cool guy, and I'm glad to say that I got it wrong with him. You know, I had a bad taste in my mouth a few months ago being, you know, told that, hey, no, you can't come. But again, the rules are rules, so you got to respect that.
Right.
And thanks to Vinny, and also thanks to Rip Rockin'. You know, it was cool. He walked me through the stuff and, you know, told me what to expect. And it was a really good time. Two days of, you know, Vinny basically being in the same room playing, and you know, he was very accessible
right that way. And so Mike Brunn, you know, had mentioned in his review and everything that and I've seen some other reviews from people online that essentially it was similar to how the birthday bash started, where they held everybody out in the waiting area, and then when they came in, Vinny was already playing. So I mean, you got to witness this yourself.
I walked into SIR probably an hour before the 3 o'clock start time. So I heard about an hour or 45 minutes to an hour of Vinny down the hall going at it. You know, it was like, okay. And like, you know, my phone is just going off the hook and I couldn't answer it. You know, I couldn't talk to too many people, but I had that feeling of what those people experienced at the birthday bash.
Right.
And, yeah, it was like being a fly on the wall, almost like, you know, you're not allowed to hear this, but I'm hearing it. You know, he was loud and proud.
And how did it sound to you? Because you meticulously follow his playing and have for a long time. So I mean, let's go ahead and let's see. Am I going to eat crow? Because I'm one of the people who said I don't think he can play anymore. So am I wrong?
I'm going to preface it like this, because people are saying, oh, he played just like this year. He played like 1986.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't Vinny of 77. It wasn't Vinny of 80, 83, 86, 89. It wasn't any of that. You got Vinny of 2019, you know. Going into it, you can't expect anything, you know. It's almost, I wouldn't. You're in for a letdown if you expect something, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The best way that I can describe his playing is, like the REH video, the instructional video where he basically has a drum machine going and like a little pulse tone, you know, just going behind him.
Right.
And he's playing. I mean, he's throwing it all out there. There were little bits of melody within the REH video. What I didn't get from this time was it was more buckshot. It was just scattered, and I'm hitting you with the shred, period. You know, yeah. What I love about Vinny's playing is how he played over chord progressions, and he's more than capable of doing voice leading within his chord progressions. I'll explain how we walked in a second, but he basically just gave you chromatic buckshot. Just I'm moving my right hand as fast as I can, and the left hand's going to catch up, or, you know, going to be with it. Now, I'll bring up a comparison, for instance, which these two guitar players are totally different other than speed. Michelangelo Badio, you're used to pinpoint precision. It's, you know, it's computer precision almost, where I was always attracted more towards the Vinnie Vincent style, where there's like, you know, you don't know what's going to happen. You know, it sounds like that guitar is going to fall apart, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, some might say slop, some might say passionate guitar playing. I prefer the latter. You know, I was never on a Michelangelo Badio forum, so I was on a Vinny forum before. So, I mean, yeah, that explains it right there. I like that style of playing more.
And I did too. But I mean, I know what you're saying. It's not the playing of 84. Is it close to that, or I guess I'm trying to push you on this. Like, is it, would you say he's more than capable now of doing stuff, or do you think there's been degradation in the playing? I mean, honestly, to me, the fact that he's out there doing it, I mean, I'm willing to say I was wrong, because I had a feeling he couldn't play at all. It sounds to me like he's probably worked his chops up over since the Miami thing, because the Miami Cruise Fest thing was kind of scary for anyone who wanted to see him play again.
It wasn't even scary. I mean, it was, you're looking at it just like, man, you know, almost, you know, your heart's sinking, you know.
Right.
You're like, your heart's like, you know, you're eating crow in front of everybody that ever said that your guitar player, your band sucked. It's like the feeling that how Kiss is going out now and sucking.
Exactly.
You know, to the Paul Stanley.
Right.
You know. But, you know, during that Miami thing, you know, he's holding back and he looks afraid. And, you know, that's not a knock on him. It's just seeing the product of that, and you didn't want to solo, and then you find out the reasons, you're just like, okay, you know, maybe one day I'll get to see him play. So last weekend was the first time in 31 years where, I mean, I stood right in front of him, you know, right in front of him. He wasn't shred syncing. He was playing. And I was, like I said, I arrived an hour before the doors, you know, the party started. And people started arriving probably about 2:30. Let's say I arrived at 2. I probably arrived earlier. I don't know. I was excited.
Yeah.
But I'm the first one in the door. You know, you get, you know, looked at, make sure you're not bringing anything you shouldn't be in. You shouldn't take into the room. You put your phone in a bag. You know, you're allowed to hold your phone. You want to use it, leave the room, you know, but while you're in that room, keep the thing in the bag. And that's more than okay by me.
Yeah.
Anyway, I walk in and he's going at it, and it's buckshot. You know, it's not necessarily, if I were expecting anything, like I am looking forward to future events where he'll be playing with a band and I can hear, you know, those chord progressions under it, where he can play against those chord progressions and take his leads in certain directions.
Right.
This, you know, again, the best word I can use is buckshot. It was just scattered all over, and it was cool. And, the one thing that I felt bad about is that by the time everybody got in, a lot of people in the back of the line didn't hear him or didn't see him going off. You know, they might have heard like the he went to a cleaner sound. He did like a medley of like Christmas tunes and stuff like that with some really nice voice leading. I think that's what the last in line basically walked in on, and they didn't get to see Vinny play. So I would hope that that would change it for at future parties where everyone just gets to experience that. You know?
Right. Well, they got to see him play the next day, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he's more than capable. He still has the mind for, you know, beautiful melodies and everything. He just didn't play like that, those 2 days.
And this is, let me monologue a little bit here, but because this is just, obviously it's Aaron and I's show, so I do want to say my take on this is because, and I don't know who sent this to me, I got a rather angry email right around the time the event started, basically stating that we were douchebags for questioning whether he can play or not. I'm not saying who sent that, because I don't know who sent that. It was clearly a made-up name. But either way, my take on this is the expectations are high from people, A, because he's kind of made them have those expectations because he's the person that chose in Atlanta to state that he practices for 7 hours a day. He has all these grandiose things that he likes to put out there. You know, he at one point he even referenced talking about playing Maracana Stadium in South America. And it's like, well, what are you talking about? But stuff like that. And then also the not allowing people to film things. You can imagine, and also previous track record, it's not a crazy thing to question if there's shenanigans being pulled with who we're talking about. Now, whether he likes me saying that or not, I don't care because it's just the facts. But I'm willing to admit because you and Mike and several other people that I know that were there whose opinions I trust, it's not that he doesn't have anything to prove to me. I'm sure he wants nothing to do with me, but you know, I'm willing to state, I think people need to drop the he can't play thing because it sounds to me like he is making the effort and it sounds like people had a great time because, I mean,
that's exactly right. Everybody had a great time that was there, you know? And, you know, it might not have been the version of Vinny that you prefer. You know, all I know, when he was done playing, the big smile came across his face. He put his thumbs up and he was very proud of, you know, that was what he wanted to present.
Right.
You know,
and that's great. And honestly, I responded to that angry email that's saying, you know, look, if people think I'm openly rooting for him to not be able to play, they're wrong, because regardless of issues I've had with him on a personal level, that doesn't change the fact that I still love that guitar playing and I love those songs. So, you know, and for everybody that I loved, like you and friends of mine that were there, I wanted nothing more than for you guys to have a blast and for him to prove the haters wrong. Honestly, I don't want anything to do with him on a personal level, but I wish for the people that are still interested in him that he gets that he delivers on promises, which of course I could do a whole other show on certain promises that still haven't been delivered on. Obviously. Let me ask you this.
Well, sure.
I'm going to bounce around a little bit here because we got the playing thing out of the way. But I saw there were some photos from this thing where there were like two prototype boxes from the Vinnie Vincent archive box set. And I saw Mike's interview and it seemed like he's talking about this thing being 20, 30 CDs, having it 40, 50 vinyl on, you know, vinyl version. I can only imagine what the cost of this is going to be, but like it feels like he still isn't addressing people that paid for that the first time, or did he?
Not really at that event. He just said that he has bigger and better plans for it. And the big thing for me is just seeing that the fans that paid for it, you know, 2 decades ago got it. You know, eventually get it.
Yeah.
You know. I mean, if he makes this thing grandiose and, you know, whatever it was, like 15 to 20 discs or whatever, I mean, I don't know what are those people going to get the bigger, better, box set, or are they going to have to pay a difference in fee? And that's not for me to say or not for me to even think of. I just hope that my buddy, Uncle Kev in California gets his box that everybody else does, you know.
Yeah. I'm kind of surprised that you didn't order it back then.
I wanted CDs back then. That's why I didn't want tapes.
Yeah.
But I mean, the options now, what, you can get it on a little stick or whatever. I don't even.
Yeah, and I almost think that would be a smarter route to go. Just do digital files. You know, it doesn't have to be physical.
Just do digital files, and that'd be it. You know, but the way he conducts his business, I'm backing away from now. I just want to be a fan and enjoy what I can.
And that's fair. But
like for instance, like with people were saying stuff about the merchandise while we were there, and it's just like, you know, if that's what he wants to charge, so be it. I'm just, I more than respect the fact that, you know, that's what he wants for certain items, and I just can't afford it, you know, right. Plain and simple.
Well, I mean, it's an interesting scenario because I almost wonder if he got inspiration for this idea from when he did Gene Simmons' vault thing, because it's a similar type of setup where it's like a more of a party and a meet and greet, which is what the Gene vault appearances were, but, and it sounds to me like this is what he plans on doing in the future, because I know the question came. And if you haven't listened to Mike Brun's interview, go listen to it, because it's way more all-encompassing than the stuff I'm bringing up today. So, but one of the interesting things from that was that he stated that he's looking to just do like 3 or 4 events in Nashville at SIR going forward. And, you know, this, and I'm sure the non-filming thing will be part of that, too. I get the idea behind that, where it's like, let's keep things spontaneous and old school, and but at the same time, I do think, and this is me having a podcast just pontificating on what I think he should do, but I think actually showing that you can still do it would make a lot more sense, even in a small promotional clip, and you would probably pull a lot more people in, because I have to wonder how often this type of audience is going to show up to these small gatherings, and if it's, or how much of it's going to be the same people, and how, you know, how much they can fiscally afford to do that. But it seems like he wants to stay in this small bubble, which is his business. It's fine. But, as somebody who appreciates what he used to do, and it's one of those with Vinny, it's all, for me, it's always the potential and the, what could have been because of that much talent. At least put out music or something. I understand not touring because the audience is going to be limited. But I think showing what he could do would probably go a long way, don't you think?
Yeah, I think so too. And I believe in some ways, the Gene Simmons thing, where, you know, he's selling 10 discs for $2,000 or whatever it was. You know, people bought it. You know, there were people in the merch line at the Vinny Christmas party where, you know, people were buying things. You know, I can't get on them for being able to buy it, you know.
Yeah,
if they wanted it, you know, it just it is what it is at that point. I would like to have some of those certain things, but, you know, I can't spend $500 on a CD, you know.
Right. Well, if have you heard any talk about, I heard something about a Valentine's Day event, is that going to happen?
At the event, I'm sure it's been talked about online, and I think I did see it, because I don't want to let any cat, you know, anything out of the bag that wasn't supposed to be talked about, but there was never any talk about, you're not allowed to talk about this. In fact, you know, people, the powers that be were just saying, yeah, tell everybody. You know, as far as I know, there was, you know, he was asking, like he does, he doesn't make like an announcement where this is going to happen. You know, he's like, hey, if I can get Jeff Scott Soto to sing, you know, in February or March, you know, would you guys like that?
Right.
And obviously people would like, okay, that'd be cool, yeah. Even though I cannot stand Jeff Scott Soto's voice with Benny's stuff. Huh. You know, okay. Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, and then, you know, if he was talking about getting Treasure back together. Yeah. Now, that is something I would love to see. I would love to see Benny playing melodically again. You know, and I had a visual in my head where it's just like, okay, he's going to bring a Strat and a Les Paul to that. He just got a beautiful Les Paul from the Gibson custom shop people. Met with Jill and a few other people from Gibson and at the party, and they were incredible people. So, I mean, to see Vinny play, you know, a different style guitar or something like that. You know, just that would be something special. And then going back to playing that beautiful pop music with Felix and Jack would be, you know, right up my alley.
Yeah.
That's more of what I want to hear, you know, now.
Yeah, well, even for, I mean, for,
I know he can play fast, you know.
Sure. Well, and not that I'll be attending, but my hope for people that it will be, he's proven the whole shred thing, which I don't know. To me, I think coming out of Atlanta where he did the acoustic thing, I think focusing on the songs, do an acoustic storyteller's thing, that's really, I think the majority of people would have been happy with just that, but, so I'm not really sure why everything went over the top with this shred thing, but, you know, so be it. I'm not sure, you know, I can't figure out what goes on in his head. Oh, let me ask you this, because on the second day, he plays, he's got the makeup on, and I've heard from several people that he had a bass player on stage. Do you know who the bass player was?
Good old Simon, Little Simon. Well, Simon played on the fan jam, but,
no, but
there was
before that.
There was another fella there, too. He just held down a couple notes and let Vinny rip over it. You know, it was more the same of, you know, there's not really melodic pattern underneath the soloing, not a chordal structure or anything. It's just, you know, gave your ears a pulse and a, you know, a couple notes for Vinny to solo off of. It was more of the speed. It was, stopping on random notes and just yanking on the whammy bar, stuff like that, you know, and it was cool to my ears, you know.
Yeah.
It wasn't necessarily, you know, the style. Like, for instance, like I said, I'm more prone to treasure, you know, even the Vinnie Vincent Invasion where, you know, gosh, you got Ashes to Ashes, you know.
Yeah.
Stuff like that, you know, where that chord progression underneath, it lent itself to a great solo. If I may go back, I think it was the first day where he played, you know, while everybody's walking in, he played the opening lick to Shoot You Full of Love.
Oh, cool.
And it was like hearing the record, you know, that was cool. And I wish there would have been more of that where he just, you know, here's this riff and, you know, what he thought of it. Now, the second day, yeah, it was just the guy holding down the note and him just shredding over it, you know.
Okay, but it wasn't somebody we know playing bass.
No, no.
I'm just curious.
No, nice guy. Talk to him.
Do you think he was like an employee there?
No, I think he was one of Vinny's friends, Vinny's acquaintances, whatever, you know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, just somebody helping out with the event, you know.
Yeah. Did you get any autographs? What'd you get signed?
I had a couple photos that I took at the end of the first night, and I went to FedEx and had them blown up into a nice poster and had them sign stuff like that.
Oh, cool.
You know?
Okay.
You know, it's to the point for me now where, not any disrespect, but I, you know, I don't really need anything signed. And, you know, I really, that was the big thing, just hearing him play, seeing him play. Last time I saw him play was July of 1988.
Yeah.
You know, and yes, we saw him play in Atlanta. You know, we've seen other things, but, you know, this is the first time in 31 years where he played fast, you know.
And I don't...
And it was cool.
I haven't heard any real negative reviews of the event, so, I mean, it sounds to me like it went off successfully. I mean, you feel like you got what you wanted out of it?
Oh, absolutely. You know, it was just like he was happy with the way he was playing, and you know, I got a few questions that I wanted answered. You know, he answered them. You know, he talked about the Chet Atkins when he went over to Chet Atkins' house, I believe, and jammed with him. Now, what I would have liked to, you know, because I go, hey, what did you play? And he just did a quick 3 seconds of, you know, Merle Travis picking, mm-hmm. you know, stuff that Chet Atkins would do, you know, just the stuff like that. And I mean, I would have loved to, oh yeah, we played this particular song. Just went off on it for like 40 minutes, whatever, you know. Didn't really get that, but, he, you know, this is when he had an acoustic guitar in his hand. Mm-hmm. And people were asking him questions, and he played like a little bit of the unreleased song called Over You.
Yeah.
And I just go, hey, you know, nobody's talking about the steel guitar in that, the pedal steel guitar. You know, it's almost like it's so good that it's disguised in the track. You know, nobody expects a pedal steel guitar in a Vinnie Vincent song.
Yeah, unless you know his family history.
Unless you know his family history, and then, you know, then you get called creepy.
Well, guilty as charged on both.
Yeah, but I just go, hey, was that your dad's pedal steel? And he goes, well, yeah, and I still have it. I'm just like, man, you know, that's awesome. Got to hear about certain guitars that, you know, people don't ask about. You know, the red guitar on the Creatures tour.
Yeah.
You know, for years we were just like, okay, we think that's from 48th Street in New York City. 48th Street Guitars, whatever it was called. Was it called Guitar Man Guitar? Was it called 48th Street Guitars? I mean, the obvious answer is it was an ESP, and it said ESP on the headstock, but I guess somebody, from the looks of, like, all the famous photos of the two necks that were on it, he just magic markered ESP out of there.
Yeah.
And when you think about it, you're just like, okay, well, Vinny was like one of the first guys to play ESPs on a big arena stage, you know?
Yeah.
That's cool to think about.
That is.
Vinny was one of the first guys to play a Randy Rhoads with a Floyd Rose in it and with EMGs in it. You know, he was right there at a time where he was a front runner in a lot of that stuff. It's to be respected in a grand way, you know. That's some cool stuff.
Yeah.
And you can't take that away from him.
I think, you know, I think, like, if he could, like, hook up with Guitar World magazine or something to do, like, a whole deep gear discussion, I think that would be pretty fascinating. And also, I think the shows and stuff are interesting, but I think a lot of people would want to read a book. I wonder if he is going to go forward with writing his own book.
I would hope so. And, you know, I'd want the visuals there, too. I'd want to see, you know, it was cool to see the student model Jackson up close. It was cool to see the Carvin up close. You know, it was shocking, too, because he spray painted the tips of the white and gold Carvin. He spray painted them pink in the last couple months.
I wasn't crazy about
that. He bondoed the tips because he broke the tips of the guitar from just, you know, from playing it and from just, you know, probably leaning it against the wall and stuff like that, you know.
Yeah.
It's just a tool to him, you know, and you're just like, man, looking at the student model Jackson, the pink Jackson that he had the white tape on during the ASG period, you know, you're looking at that and you're looking up close and, I mean, he's hacked these guitars up, I mean, to make them better, to make them, you know, suit his playing.
Right.
You know, that's really cool to see all that little stuff, like a volume pot moved, you know, a couple millimeters over, you know.
Yeah.
There's not like a drastic move to it, but you see the wood filled in and it's just moved over slightly.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, so if he does another event, are you going to go?
I'd love to, you know, and then, you know, hopefully things are, I wouldn't say anything was disorganized. It was run really well. Talking with people that attended, you know, they were, you know, it's kind of like you want to know what's coming up next. And we didn't know, but like I said, Vinny was always in the room. You know, he only took a couple breaks, mm-hmm. you know, in those 2 days, but for the most part, he was in the room and accessible. I can just see, like, it would probably benefit them to just say, okay, we're going to do this for an hour. We're going to do this for an hour. We're going to take a break here. You know, whatever.
Yeah.
Just so there's some kind of schedule where people know what's going on. But also, like, where people don't miss out on him shredding the first day. And, you know.
Yeah. Well,
like I said, I got bits and pieces of what I wanted, you know.
Right.
I heard the chord, you know, the chordal melodies and everything and the voice leading on, like, he did a very nice medley of Christmas tunes and other things within it. That was cool for me, you know.
And for this type of thing, he's gotten a lot of hate for the price that he charged for this, but honestly, if you put this up against meet and greets for other bands, I mean, I think you're getting your money's worth, honestly. And
absolutely true.
How much do people pay to get a photo with Kiss nowadays? Thousands, right? I mean, it's like...
Yeah, and it's literally walk in the door, and you know, I don't even think you get to shake all four of their hands. You just pose for the photo, get the fuck out the door.
Yeah, and I know that's a sought-after photo for a lot of people, but at the same time, here's a guy that if you're a big fan of his art, then, you know, he's going to actually spend 2 days hanging out with you. You can't really beat that. And, you know, and that's coming from somebody who has no interest in being part of it. But for people that are still fans of his, and, you know, I'll make that clear. You know, when I had my falling out with him, you and I didn't, like, suddenly not become friends. So, I mean, it's like...
Oh, not at all.
But I've had people like, oh, how
you're can... You're more than welcome to have your opinion, you know. And
well, yeah.
So
well,
am I.
And but I mean, there's probably going to be a few people that listen to this, and they're like, "How can you talk to people that went to that event?" I'm like, "Well, we're all people. We all have our own opinions on things, you know."
Yeah, and quite honestly, I'm on the show, you know, out of friendship with you, but also, you know, I think I'm spreading a good word. I think, you know, there's no need for me to. You know, say anything bad. You know, this is going to be a refreshing change where it's going to be like an interview where pretty much just good said about Vinny, you know?
Well, I mean, and I talked to you when you were in town because you hung out with me.
Yeah.
And this is no different than what you told me before we got on a microphone. So I can't, you know, you're not pulling the wool over anyone's eyes here. It's not, it's just, you know, it sounds like it was a good
experience. No, it's not bullshit.
Yeah.
It's, you know. It was more chromatic. It was buckshot chromatic and beautiful. If you're into that kind of thing,
right?
If you're looking for certain aspects, you can find them if you listen. But right. For this party that I went to, that's what it was.
And there was no guy.
I had no problem with it. No. The next party might be, you know, Felix might be there and. Be playing some organ, and they might just have a jam. Who knows? I mean, but that's all possible.
Well,
so I'm looking forward to that style of playing too.
Right.
You know.
Well, I'm honestly relieved that it went well for all you guys that went. So, because I think it's good, and
yeah,
and hopefully it leads to new music or something like that, or playing tour dates. But you know, we'll see what happens. But yeah, I appreciate you coming on to kind of share your side of it and what you experienced, because it's interesting to get your take. And when you told me you were going, I was like, okay, here's somebody I absolutely 100% trust that will tell me exactly what happened. And I appreciate you sharing how it went.
Yes, I appreciate you having me on the show. And once again, thanks to Silky Wilkie and to Vinny and to you and Aaron and your family, because, hey, I spent the night at the Sinzak house, and it was awesome.
Oh, man. Well, thanks again, and I hope to have you back in Nashville for Rockin' Pod 4.
All right. I will definitely be there.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.